This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good evening. I sound like the police officer in Allo Allo. Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast brought to you by the Scottish Rugby Blog. I am Cammy Black or Kimmy Block. I am in slight darkness tonight. I'm in the middle of a house move. So my normal little lamp that shines a bright, shiny white light on my face and illuminates me is in a box somewhere. But slightly more illuminated than me is Nicholas Cage. Ian Hay. Good evening, Ian.
You're on mute.
There, he's on mute. Chanting away at himself on mute.
Sort of off, yeah. No, I'd unmuted my mic, but I hadn't unmuted the StreamYard thing. So, yes, hello, everyone. Hi.
Good evening, Ian. And also, good evening, John Anderson, with his lovely collection of guitars behind him.
Good evening, all. Yes, if I go that way, you can see the V as well. So,
very nice. Yes, don't forget, we are live now on YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, and a couple of other places as well. If you're watching this live, you can get involved in the comments. Any questions, anything you want us to cover, give us a shout and we'll pick it up. We are also on Patreon, Scottish Rugby, patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast. Ian's on the cider, the scrumpy tonight as well. I was on the port. I was going to say, because we're moving house, I'm clearing out the alcohol cupboard, and I was going to be on the port because I found this lovely wee Coburn's miniature at the back of a cupboard. And I was explaining to John before we came on, port can go off apparently because there's a massive lump of something at the bottom of this, so I'm not drinking it. Not this.
Just give it a stir, man. I'll be fine.
I've got a day of homeschooling tomorrow.
It's like lumpy bits of sugar, mate. You just get the spoon in, smash it up. Fine.
For this sort of high quality chat, you can subscribe for £3 a month through our Patreon, patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast. Or if you want to pay, you can pay £5 a month and enter our VIP Doogie Donnelly Lounge. Now, you don't get anything extra for being in the Doogie Donnelly Lounge, but you do get your name read out on the podcast. So we've got a couple of thank yous to a couple of people who've signed up and to enter the Doogie Donnelly Lounge. So thank you very much, Blair Anderson. Blair, thank you very much for that. There's your wee shout out. And the other person who signed up just before Christmas, so I missed them, was Brian McLeish signed up. And Jesse Murray, who's paid $10. Now, I'm going to assume that's £5. But given the way we're now post-Brexit, I don't know, you know, that could be. I mean, maybe we should start dealing in dollars from here on. It might be the same currency.
Is it US dollars or Canadian dollars?
US dollars, I think.
I reckon that's about £6.30.
£7.34 at the current exchange rate.
Jesus. Cheers, Jacob. Well,
thank you. Thank you very much, Jesse. So, and thank you very much. The one upside of Brexit is anybody paying for us the subscription in dollars is probably doing us a favour.
It's gone a bit dodgeball, hasn't it? Where they debate whether to pay their bill in Canadian dollars and save a bit of money.
I mean, this is an extra wham bar per month for me and John. This is
How good's wham bars, by the way? Just as an aside, how good are they?
Hello to everybody that's with us this evening, watching live. Hello to Alan McDonald, who's going to take us on a walk with his dog.
Yay!
So good evening to Alan. Allen, I've got a special treat for Alan later on. Good evening to Andy Lowe, who Lone, a regular listener to us as well. We are also brought to you in partnership with Manscaped, who are the best in downstairs male grooming. If you go to manscaped.com/ScottishRugby, you will get 20% off plus free shipping on anything that's on there. And there's all sorts of things that you can get on there. You can get a moisturizer, ball toner, clippers, nose trimmers, anything that you could want in male grooming is there. If you forget that link, just search Manscaped, go to their website, and if you put SRP for Scottish Rugby Podcast in at the checkout, you will get 20% off plus free shipping. They're going to be partnering with us all the way through this to the end of the Six Nations, whenever that is, so probably sometime in 2023, I would imagine. We'll start with news anyway, which is what we're here for. We were hoping to talk about some rugby, but the 1872 Ian got frozen off like 10 minutes beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, I was on, I just loaded up the Premier Sports app about 15 minutes beforehand. I had it on mute because Rona was watching telly. Then one of my mates in our WhatsApp group said, "Game's off." And I was like, "No, I'm watching it right now." So turned the volume up and... You know, there was Big Jim saying that apparently the ground, they tried to do some test scrums, ground couldn't take even a plastic stud, so deemed unsafe to play on.
There are some Welsh and English sides who would say that the Scotstoun pitch has never been able to take studs.
That's like it's either too dry, you know, and it'll cause the poor wee scarlet some nasty skin diseases. Or it's to try to take a stud. But that's a weird thing, though, because, I mean, that day was ridiculously warm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's meant to be an all-weather pitch, but,
unless it's frosty or too dry. I mean,
there's extremities, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, like, frostiness in Scotland is expected. Yeah. But, I mean, it was... I'd gone up to the shops a wee bit beforehand, and I didn't think it was that cold, but obviously... Scotland's a bit closer to the river, it's a bit, you know, gets a bit more wind chill on it.
And you are like some of us here are kitted up for the ice age with your hirsuteness, so you'll be fine.
Indeed, you know, that's why the only Assassin's Creed game I've ever bought was Valhalla, so I could unleash my inner Viking.
Not the weather, but there have been some cancellations and postponements that have a knock on effect this week. European rugby. So all the challenge, whatever format of European rugby we were playing, because it was almost unfathomable to try and work out how that worked. You needed a degree in astrophysics to work out how the groups work. But basically, all European rugby is off for the moment because the French government won't let its professional teams travel overseas for cross-border competitions. The Women's Six Nations has been postponed until either the spring or early summer. The men's Six Nations at the minute is on. Now, the reason the women's has been postponed and the men's has not is because, I think we discussed this last time when they cancelled the last one, that it's harder to create bio bubbles. No. Is it bio bubbles? Or is that what John Travolta was in that film?
Biosecure bubbles.
Anyway, because apart from England and... I think it's just England, in fact, are wholly professional. Everybody else has a degree of amateurism within their ranks, and so people are doing their jobs, and you can't expect them to give up their jobs to go and be in a biosecure bubble for a whole competition. So that's been postponed. The under-20s as well is postponed similarly. The Six Nations at the minute is going ahead. Now, there was an announcement today in France. John, I don't know if you saw it. The French government have said that the game against Italy can go on.
Yep.
So the French government are happy for their players to travel to Italy. Beyond that, they are making no commitments or comments about whether or not it can continue. So we're likely to get the first round of the Six Nations as things stand.
Yes. And there's if you think about it, right, so there's an element of, whilst I still expect France to fly to Italy, they don't have to. The other options for coming to the home nations and Ireland, aside from taking a ferry, which would be very, very good fun, let's be honest. Every rugby player who's taken a ferry in the past has caused carnage. So, you know, it's not probably going to work well for them in terms of getting a result if they come over on a ferry.
Are you not banned from taking a ferry, or someone I know?
Two guys from Bishopton, as far as I'm aware.
Right. Right. This the old. I think we had this on the blog before. I know when Berwick played Orkney, they took advantage of the £5 upgrade to first class, where it was all you can drink, and I think they drank the ferry dry. So, I mean, Mohamed Houa has today been accused of being part of a burglary of a fag shop in France. Perhaps the most French of all crimes, stealing cigarettes.
Oh, I mean, seriously, come on, guys. This tournament deserves a better class of criminal. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah,
allegedly, sorry.
Allegedly. Yeah. But so France look like they're cross-bordering it Italian job style.
Yeah.
They're coming back with the trophy, whatever trophy they play for against Italy in the back of the coach, hanging off the back of an Alp.
Back
somewhere.
Of the transit. They're like seven, eight French forwards all cooped up in the back of a transit, like Home Alone. It's going to be class.
Yeah.
Did you see Mohamed Houas's tackle at the weekend, which only got him a yellow card?
No.
No, I retweeted it. It's a bit of a forearm smash. By the framework, I looked at the framework and I was like, yeah, he should have been off for that. For a start, you know, he's lucky not to have been omitted from the squad for allegedly robbing a fag shop. And now he should have been suspended for discipline reasons again.
Now,
Jamie Ritchie smack in the face, but.
Has anyone done an analysis of the propping situation in France? Because that would strike me as there's a necessity for the fag-stealing, forearm-smashing prop to be available in some degree.
we've postponed his fag-stealing trial and we've let him go with a forearm smash because we're that desperate for France.
We're not quite Daryl Marfo, but we're that desperate.
I don't think France are that desperate, to be fair. Was it when I was on the Rock and Roll podcast? We were doing a sort of weights thing, like a quiz, like a higher or lower. And is it Demba Ba that plays that you had, or Cyril Bai? I don't know. One of them was extremely heavy. And you know, one of those was going to be on the bench. And Uni Antonio, he's tight head as well, isn't he?
He's a big lad.
Yeah, so they're not short. But you know. We'll let Mohamed Houas. We'll say that he's guilty, innocent until proven guilty.
There's skills that come with being able to be involved in the robbery of a fag shop that maybe the other props don't have.
Yeah, I've just got. I think it said he's been implicated in a burglary, and the trial's been postponed. And just could see these grown men distracting a shopkeeper while the other one naps off with some penny chews is kind of like the image I had in my head.
I'm sure. Some bombards.
Yeah, I'm sure it's nothing like that. The worrying thing, and we covered, John and I talked about this at length last week in our Patreon only podcast about the SRU accounts. The worrying thing is that. There is a possibility, although be a small possibility at this stage, that the Six Nations is postponed once again because of coronavirus. Now, Jason Leach, I think this week, was saying that they are reviewing elite sport within Scotland. I know Ian Celtic decided to have a holiday to Dubai in the middle of a pandemic, which seemed ill-advised.
When I saw the pictures, I mean, most of the complaints were that from Celtic fans, I says, was that they seem to be enjoying themselves when they shouldn't be, when they're 19 points behind. Sorry. Now up to, is it 21 now?
21 now, yep.
21 out. But then you, there's more pictures have come out. I read a very well written article pointing out all the discrepancies from the rules they were given. And to be fair, I mean, it's been an absolute shambles. The SPFL should be quite frankly ashamed of themselves. The fact that they basically bullied Hibs into playing that game. Hibs asked to get them tested again when there's 16 members of Celtic's squad and management team being told to isolate. And Hibs go, look, can we get them tested again? Both Celtic and the SPFL said, no, they don't have to. Which I think, you know, it wouldn't happen to a smaller team. It would possibly happen if it was Rangers, because, you know, I do realise that there seems to be, as the two biggest teams and the ones who bring the most money in, the SPFL have maybe sort of given them a bit of leeway, but that's not fair. In terms of sporting competition, that's not fair. Even a lot of Celtic managed team, John Kennedy has admitted that Celtic had made errors on that trip. Shane Duffy shouldn't have been playing. He was removed from the bubble. He had to go and deal with some personal issues. And he was told, John Kennedy said he wasn't going to be involved in the Hibs game. But then all of a sudden, because Celtic were so short of players, there he is back in. So there's a lot of questions to be answered there.
So I mean, imagine like that's, you know, that's Celtic. Now you imagine, you know, playing the Six Nations and all the size of the squads involved and expecting everybody within those squads to adhere to the rules at a time when numbers are absolutely through the roof, at a time when, you know, hospitals are under immense pressure. Do we really want a situation where you've got players, John, being injured on the pitch and having to go and get treatment in a hospital, albeit a private one, because that's what they're not, you know, SRU for all its, you know, flat broke still goes private for its players. It's not quite reliant on the NHS. But, you know, those private doctors, you know, a lot of them are giving up their time. So it's not that I suppose there is an element of how much social benefit do we get out of watching live sport, which, you know, there's a huge benefit to that versus, you know, what's the strain on health services of having to deal with an injured player when actually health services are stretched as it is.
Yeah, I think that's, as a guy who hails from the Isle of Bute, the health services down there are quite, let's say small, would be a fair assessment. And playing rugby down there, we were forever getting on the bad books of the health professionals because they had countless other things to be doing whilst not in a pandemic. And us getting injured was a massive, massive inconvenience for them because they can't just tell you to go away, but they kind of want to because they think you're stupid for playing rugby. And you kind of understand their point. You're like, well, fair enough. Yeah, when you boil it down to its constituent parts, that is a really silly thing that's just happened. And I think there will be an element of that in professional sport, you know. You look at guys like Jamie Roberts, who's obviously went back to the NHS during the previous lockdown and is now playing rugby again. And I think tested positive quite soon after starting playing rugby again. It's, you know, it's just difficult, and it's becoming more difficult with every passing day where you're seeing those thousands and thousands of people testing positive and more people getting admitted to intensive care. It's becoming more and more difficult to justify elite sports' privileged position in all this, even with we're testing, you know, twice a week, we're testing three times a week. It's still becoming a bit much, I think.
Yeah, I suppose, and the worry for the SRU is, as we said, that their accounts rely on the Six Nations going ahead at the minimum, and 25% attendance in the autumn. Now, if it doesn't go ahead, there's no they haven't allowed for that within their accounts, Ian. There's going to be a delay on broadcast money. There's money coming from CVC apparently imminently, but if that money doesn't come from CVC and it's delayed and you don't get the money from BBC and ITV, then it's not looking great for not just Scotland, but I suppose all the unions involved.
Very much true, but you would imagine, well, you'd hope that maybe the people who have loaned them money, certain banks, would show a bit of common decency, but then that's not how banking operates. So, you know, they'd maybe give sort of, you know, a bit of leeway. Wales said, I can't mind the guy's name when I'd spoken about it before. Wales were looking at losing 60 to 65 million of turnover, which is a huge amount of money. And, you know, part of the thing with the Principality Stadium is you put, you know, they have that extra test in the autumn and they put gigs on in the summer. And that's how they can afford to keep things going. We don't have that option. There are now worries that redundancies will have to be made at the SRU and sort of backroom staff, and we've seen the player drain happening. Because we don't know when stuff is going to start back up.
Yeah.
I think your argument around the bankers is quite an interesting one. I think in traditional times when there's maybe, you know, if something's happening in isolation where, you know, a sport is struggling or there's a particular industry struggling, then there can be a collective effort to say, do you know what, right, we are struggling, do you fancy just let the banks give us a wee bit of leeway? But the banks are all, you know, they're completely interrelated to everything that's going on. So, you know, there's almost, it's not going to be possible really for them to be, you know, giving leeway, because they've got commitments as well that they're going to have to meet that they may be struggling with. So it's just such a difficult situation.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, some of that, and then this is the other bit of news that we've got to, before we move on to the other bits of news that might be linked to the finances. Brian Scobie asks, what are you drinking, Ian? Dougie Lowe says, it looks like a bucket of cider.
It's a flagon of Old Rosie.
Are you drinking it traditional style with the thumb in there and over the elbow?
Well, I think whenever the first time I ever encountered a flagon of cider would be about 20 years ago, and me and my mate saw it in the supermarket. I was like, man, we should drink that because it will look like pirates. So if ever I see a flagon, I was in Morrison's earlier today, like doing my shopping, and I saw that, and I was like, right, you know what, I'm getting a flagon of cider. I can never not back a flag in a cider.
No, we will return to pirates later on in the podcast. Don't you worry. There'll be plenty of pirate chat later on.
Don't make me spit out, man.
try not to make Ian laugh mid swig. There has been a bit of movement transfer wise. Now, I'm just going to say, before we move on, I did say to John and Ian that they could swear during this, because this section where we're going to talk about transfers. But the pen is currently listening whilst doing some father and son Lego Marvel superheroes. So I can't allow you to swear. I'm sorry, I can't have the pens, young lad, hearing us swear. But I'm sure you'd endorse it anyway for the reasons we'll come to. There's been a number of signings at both pro teams, signings and re-signings. I don't know how to start with this. Edinburgh have signed James Lang and Glenn Young from Harlequins. That is capped the current starting 12, James Lang for Scotland, and Glenn Young, very well thought of. Lock, one of the Squid Rugby highly rates him. Apparently, he's got Gas to Spare, very good in the line out. Jedbra lad, very happy to be coming back to Scotland. I like that. You could tell the person that paid attention in media training with the quotes in the press release, because James Lang was very measured, very much, I'm coming here, it's a great opportunity, you know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, developing as a centre in Scotland. And Glenn Young opens with, I'm absolutely buzzing. Take the lad out of Jed.
Apparently he was a very, very good sevens player as well. He was a regular on the King of the Ring or whatever they called it down in the
King of the Sevens.
King of the Sevens. That's a stupid name. Should be King of the Ring.
I'll put a word in.
Copyright WWE.
So then we look at what's happened at Glasgow. Now, unfortunately, I felt sorry for the Glasgow guy in charge of Twitter this week, because he'd obviously had it all queued up, or she, I don't know, we don't know, it could be a he or she, they had all queued up, obviously, this really exciting re-signing news, and then were absolutely blown out of the water by James Lang and Glenn Young signing. So Glasgow, Tom Gordon's re-signed, I mean, on a long-term deal. Now, that's a good bit of business.
Yeah.
Because he seems a very exciting prospect, John, and he's 1,000 minutes without any penalties, highest number of turnovers in the Pro 14, I think.
Yeah, he's come into that seven shirt this year and really has made it his own. He had looked quite a decent prospect last season as well, and everybody was quite excited about him. So, yeah, it's great to see him hanging around for a wee bit longer, a long-term deal or whatever they're calling it.
Yes.
Someone's cracked the code, apparently. For the foreseeable future is a year. multi-year is 2 years, and long-term is three.
That's what the Mish is on, because he's the only one that's admitted he's on a three-year deal, and he said it. They announced that as a... What did you say the last one was?
A long-term
deal, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we've cracked it.
So then Glasgow have also re-signed 29-year-old Super 6 player Sean Kennedy. That's harsh to Sean Kennedy. I'm really sorry. That's just...
you're stating facts. There's nothing harsh about that.
And a prop, one of whom was playing Premiership rugby not so long ago, a hooker. And who else have you re-signed?
Well, we've re-signed Duncan Weir.
Yes. So that's been
with a gap of a few years.
Yes, technically a re-signing. After letting him go to Edinburgh and then to Worcester, now found that the cupboard is bare. And like that point when in one relationship breaks down and you think, do you know what? It's a really good idea to call my ex. That's who I need to call. That's the point in getting over Adam Hastings that Glasgow Warriors are at. They've called an ex. It's like Finn Russell, like, we'll go down the list. Finn Russell, he's got that flash lad now. There's no way he's taking me back. Who can I got to? I'll check Dunkey Weir's Facebook. What's he up to? He's grown his hair out. He looks like he's desperate during lockdown. He'll come back and play for us.
It's like Cobra Kai season 3.
So yes, Dunkey Weir has come back to have some unsatisfactory rebound sex with Glasgow Warriors. Or is that a multi-year contract or a long-term deal?
That was apparently a multi-year. Yes,
so it's a two-year contract. We're guessing.
Yeah.
We joke, but it's a good signing. He's unlikely to. He might be in or around the Scotland squad if there's injuries. And he offered very reasonable cover during the autumn.
Yep.
But he's probably going to be behind Jaco van der Voort now. So he's probably fourth choice. So from a Glasgow point of view, you have got a solid, just bubbling below test level 10 appearing for you week in, week out that you're not going to lose during the international windows, John. So, I mean, it's good news in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, it's good news in the perspective that it's someone who actually plays 10, being signed as a 10. I mean, I suppose that's kind of novel for Glasgow. We're going down a new route of like actually doing things correctly. And I agree with you, it's good in the sense that we will have them most of the year, if not all of the year. But then the point of that is we're going to have him all year because he's not good enough to be an international player. And, you know, sadly, that's where Glasgow are at just now. We're placing our eggs in the basket of a player who we've rejected a few years ago for a stonemason apprentice. And we punted him off to Edinburgh. He was shocking over there. He got punted off down south. And, yeah, he's had a bit of a... You know, he's had a decent time down south. He seems to have found a bit of form. But the fact is he wasn't good enough for Glasgow those years ago. And now we find ourselves in a situation where he's our best option. And it's just disappointing. It's just really, really disappointing.
I mean, there's Alistair Donald saying his contract states it's complicated.
Oh, yes.
The it is kind of... I mean, obviously, it's always nice when a former player returns, Ian, but there is something slightly unsatisfactory, I suppose, from a Glasgow point of view, that in a week that Edinburgh announcing two relatively exciting signings, and we'll maybe talk about James Lang in a minute and whether that's exciting or not, you know, two big name signings, and Glasgow have got a couple of reinforcements and an ex.
The biggest thing for me is, though, that Edinburgh have, in the last couple of years, for example, they managed to keep Bill Matta, mm-hmm. who is amazing, and Hamish Watson, whereas we've not been able to keep anyone, even like an Alex Dunbar or something. So I think, Duncan, I'd maybe take some issue with John saying that he was rubbish at Edinburgh. It's just that Edinburgh were rubbish at the time. and then when Cockers came in, like, Duncan Weir was used as a sort of impact sub, and towards the end of the season, that you know, his last season at Edinburgh, he did some. He won them a couple of games. I think he won them the RDS, didn't he?
Yeah.
And at Worcester, he seems to, you know, he's loving his rugby, and he's playing arguably the best rugby of his career. But, and this has been a big umbrage point for me for the last couple of years, is the fact that Glasgow seem to do no scouting whatsoever, and it is just going back through the phone book of, right, who can I call up? I'm sorry to the pen, but maybe kids won't understand this. Who can I call up for a ride here quickly? Where's the scouting network? Who's looking and going, right, who can we bring in to 10, at 10 to improve things? But it was the same, like, Rudy Jackson went away. Like, Jackson was the first one of the 10s to be cut as Finn Russell was coming along. He went down to Wasps and got turned into a 15. Then he came back at 15 for Glasgow, but he knew he was going to be sitting behind Stuart Hogg. So, you know, it's like most of the returning players knew they'd be backup options, but now Duncan Weir's getting pulled back, and he's going to be the first class. He's going to be the first choice option, simply because everyone else we've got at 10 is not good enough. Right, Ross Thompson's not had a chance to stake his claim there.
That's the other point. Like, we don't know if Ross Thompson's good enough, and that's the bit that really annoys me. Is we've got, this season's a write off. We know it's a write off. It's probably been a write off since like week one, and we've not given Ross Thompson any rugby, or very limited rugby. So we don't know if he's good enough. He's taken a wage, he's on a professional contract, and we don't know if he's good enough. And yet we're going out and we're spending money on a 29-year-old who we know what he can do. And we know, you know, it's going to be bang average, but it'll be better than nothing. So it's...
It'll be better than Brandon Thompson. Well, his goal kicking, certainly.
Goal kicking will be better than Brandon. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, right. Let's be honest. He is an upgrade on Brandon Thompson. There's no doubt of that. But Brandon Thompson isn't the first choice 10. You know, he's in that position because Hastings is injured, Horn's out with concussion, and we don't trust our youth players. So,
which is utter madness. Anyway, by the way, speaking of youth, good news of the Pens, laddies are up there. So that's good. And we did start the sex chat post 9 o'clock. I will stress that as well. So we're okay. That's traditional watershed is 9 o'clock.
Can we swear now?
No, because I'm in the middle of packing, and I don't want to spend all night bleeping out all your swears.
Well, just put explicit content on it and just warn people.
I know, but then I get complaints.
Well, you know what?
You're allowed to say Christ.
Like an Eminem.
I did get a complaint about that, but I'll allow it.
But that's blasphemous, Cammy.
I know, but blasphemy's fine. There's a line, and blasphemy's the one I'm fine with.
I've watched the first two episodes of that, The History of Swearing on Netflix.
Is it good?
I'm a wee bit disappointed because it's mere just talking heads with comedians trying to do bits.
Have you seen the Scottish one on BBC yet? There's one on Scottish swearing on BBC. There's an hour-long documentary. Specifically on Scottish swearing, which is worth
But it's not got Nick Cage on it, so...
But we Scots swear better than anybody.
We have a real talent for swearing.
Why it takes all the self-control in for you not to swear during this podcast to save me the time of bleeping all out.
We'd be able to prove that if you just let us swear.
Anyway, moving on. Sean Lanin is currently under 20 coach, I think, isn't it? Yep. He's the under 20 coach. So he did have a role as this is in response to Ian Mackay's comment. Sorry, I prove nothing. I was reading comments and I couldn't remember who'd commented and who'd said something out loud. Ian Mackay said, did Sean Lanin have an international recruitment role at one time? He did. I think that's when we got a load of good players. And the other person we used to do, of course, was Scott Johnson. I mean, all the players were signed were also on the books with his agent, allegedly. But nonetheless, we did have a good and that, like you said, that seems to stop. I don't know if it's that who's in it, director of rugby now? It's
Jim Mallander.
Poor Jim Mallander hasn't got much of his Rolodex isn't as thick. Or whether or not it's a sign of the times, it's Corona. Well, you say it's a sign of the times, but then Ember have signed James Lang and Glenn Young.
Yeah.
And it was a point Dougie Lowe made on our super secret Facebook page for Patreons. You know, should there be more of a joined up approach with the SRU? Now, it might be player choice. Maybe, you know, Glenn Young says the commute from Jedburgh to, you know, I can move back to family at Jedburgh. The commute from Jedburgh to Edinburgh is fairly easy, which Jed to Glasgow is a bit harder. But James Lang, I mean, there's an argument there that Glasgow needs a 12 alongside Sam Johnson and someone that can cover at 10.
Yeah, I think that's an absolutely fair argument. Again, I like that there is an element of player choice that comes into it, and I think that's understandable. And there is a role for Lang at Edinburgh as well, because whilst we, you know, they've got Christine, who is, again, a decent player, but not, you know, he's not a world beater. And James Lang could go in there and do a real job as a second distributor at 12, which they've not had since the Phil Burley days, which, you know, they maybe didn't use it to its biggest capacity at that point. But certainly it was the way Townsend had Scotland try to play for a while. And if Edinburgh are trying to evolve their game, they certainly need a different point of attack. Yakko can't do it all himself, and as much as they like to just kick the ball about, it would be nice to see them using a centre occasionally. Lang will at least demand that. But I think it's just a bad look, because Glasgow have been crying out for signings like for 2 years. There's been, you know, there's been rumblings of the recruitment being very heavily favoured one way for quite some time, and then this happens, and you know, you've got James Lang getting announced alongside Super Six specialist Sean Kennedy. It's not a great look.
No, go on, Ian. I'll let you swear now.
I won't yet, but regarding Sean Kennedy, my big concern with that is, right, so we know we've got Ali Price and Jamie Dobie is, you know, he's up and coming, lots of potential. Hornito's out of contract this summer.
Yep.
Where's he going? I believe Purgos is out of contract as well. See if Hornito goes along the M8. Right, and I'm going to swear, I will be fizzing about that, right? Because that boy has not been given a fair crack at the whip. I mean, his try scoring record is sensational. People mm-hmm. complain about, you know, his game management's not that good, whatever, right? He's not been given a chance to show his game management. And also, like, when he has started, he started in European games against Exeter, for examples, and he's played extremely well. And I mean, this has been a common complaint of mine for ages. People go, oh, he's not got the experience yet. How's he going to get experience if he doesn't get game time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, there's not some like magic flick of the switch that goes, all right, now you're 25, that's you, you've got game management and experience skills. No, you need to be playing games to get game management and experience skills. No, it's a argument. I believe Purgos is out of contract, so if Horn does go and replace him, we'll see a lot less box kicking from Edinburgh for a start. But it's, you know, it's going to feel, I think, as a Glasgow fan, it's going to feel like a stab in the back.
I'm calling it now. Calling it now. I understand what's happening now. Hornito's going to go across to Edinburgh. Ali Price is going to get bought out of contract and go to Racing, and we're going to get Purgos. we're getting the full band together now.
I think we'll have to do a properly explicit one for that. Now, I don't know if this is true. This shows you how ridiculous this is, right? I know that Scotland are terrible at giving young players a start, a chance, you know, and we've been talking about this for ages. Now, you look at the stats, and this is Wikipedia, so don't know how well updated these are, and I'm sure Kevin Miller will be on me about some of these stats, but as a test, so George Horn is 25. Okay, he's older than he's always older than I think. He's been around longer than you think as well. So he's been on the books at Glasgow since 2015. According to this, he's made 43 appearances for Glasgow since 2015. Right, Marcus Smith plays fly half for Harlequins, is 21 years old. According to Wikipedia, he's made 93 appearances for Harlequins.
Yep.
And he's thought of as a future England fly half. Now, he's got 93 top flight games under his belt. And we wonder why young players in Scotland take time to develop and come of age. It's because they don't get the game time.
And as a point of relevance to that, Johnny Gray, right?
Yeah.
Johnny Gray was, when he was on an academy contract, apparently he said, you know, when he was told, like, oh, you know, we'll keep you in the academy and blah, blah, blah. Apparently he said, no, I'd rather just keep playing for Camaslang. But so Camaslang were in, I think, his first year, I think they were in that one. They're doing in that two now. He came in to a team with Al Kellock and what have you. Can't mean to his else playing Lockett in 2012-13. So it was the first season that I had a season ticket. And I remember I bumped into a friend of mine from Camaslang who said, I'm here to see my mate Johnny playing. Johnny Gray was 18 years old. Johnny Gray became a first team regular by the age of 19 years old. You know, he was keeping Al Kellock out of the team so that he could partner Leone Nakarawa. Why are the SRU, or whether it's SRU protocols or if it's Glasgow coaching, whatever, why are they so insistent on not giving young people game time and letting them develop into the players they could be?
Yeah, it's ludicrous. And I think the other, I mean, that's really interesting that, you know, Johnny Gray made that decision to stay and play for Camaslang. And you kind of think, I mean, you know, Xander Ferguson's an example of that, of an academy player. I know Xander Ferguson's a fantastic player, but Xander Ferguson struggled in the scrum a lot when he first came on the scene because he was an academy player. So he's only used to playing against young players. You stick him, I'm sure, a couple of seasons in the Premiership on that one, when he was, you know, 18 years old, getting turned inside out by a couple of old heads, you know, he would have learned a thing or two compared to, you know, being taught very technical stuff in a gym or against other guys of the same age. And it's taken him, you know, he's an absolutely phenomenal scrummager now, but, you know, he's had to learn the hard way and in the full glare of the public how to do the dirty stuff. Whereas, you know, a bit more game time, a bit more exposure at different levels against different opposition, and, you know, does the world a good.
Yeah. Or you let him play with, say, Glasgow Hawks, who, I mean, there's a guy playing Glasgow Hawks called Gary Strain, who's an old head. I believe he's like a sports he has some kind of sports degree, and he's working with Strathclyde Uni and Coalition with the SRU, isn't he? I mean, that guy is a, like, proper old head, good old-fashioned scrummager. And it calls into question the entire point of Super Six. Because at first, like, with Super Six, I was kind of like, all right, it's a good idea. But it's the issue you're saying, it's not a developmental league. So it's like, what is the point then if you're not going to have many young players coming through? Because if you look at some of the guys that were playing Super Six last year, a lot of them were kind of like 25, 26-year-olds. Someone like Sam Kitchen, for example, who's kind of half on the books at Edinburgh. Is it Sam Kitchen, the hooker, is that his name? I think it is. He was the top try scorer on Super Six last year. But what's the point of paying a foreign import $12,500 a year as a way to progress them up to a pro contract when there could be young guys playing in a Premiership, playing more often against old heads who maybe know better?
Yeah.
The academy system is busted. And I know
it is bust because you look at the evidence is where do we currently stand with the two pro teams right now? Do you know, and we're struggling for we're struggling to fly half. I mean, the academy has not produced a fly half capable of starting, has it? I mean, you've got Ross Thompson, and then Ember have had to sign that boy up for Bath, haven't? Was it been Bristol?
I don't think we've produced any positions because you look at the Glasgow outside backs. You know, we're still reliant on guys like Lee Jones, Nico Matawalu, and all that who are over 30. Yep. Robbie Dunn has not achieved anywhere near the potential we're hoping for. And one of the things with Glasgow is really concerning me. Stafford McDowell isn't on the injured list, and he's not getting game time. And that guy, when he was playing for Glasgow, he's been playing for Glasgow like two or three seasons. And he's a big lad, and he's a damn fine player. Why is he not getting game time ahead of likes of Nick Grigg, for example, who I particularly rate highly?
It's a strange one, isn't it? I saw the stat around to the point around academy players and fly halves. The last academy fly half to appear for Glasgow was Duncan Weir. The last person we developed that before Ross Thompson was Duncan Weir. So, because obviously Finn Russell wasn't an academy fly half.
And there's another fine example. You know, you give a guy like Finn Russell game time, and you go from who's this young punk? I mean, the first couple of times I saw him, I was like, oh, I like him. He's a bit daring. And now that would be 13, 14. And then 14, 15, he's made more starts than Duncan Weir.
Yeah.
And now he's, you know, he's arguably, well, he's in the top three fly halves in the world, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, you need to give these guys time. You need to let them play the game. You need to get them out on the pitch and feel proper, you know, pro rugby. Because you look at Ireland when their proliferation of young fly halves are damn fine. Like, we're not getting Ben Healy. We never were going to get Healy.
That was an agent, classic agent con of, I'll mention Glasgow interest, or I'll tap Glasgow up and it'll make them up the offer for Munster. Do you know what I mean? It's a ridiculous thing. I mean, Alan McDonald has pointed out that we're getting an academy fly half through next season in Duncan Weir. So just a 30-year-old plus one.
I like Duncan Weir. Duncan Weir went to my old high school. A couple of my mates trained Duncan Weir.
The Pen says the best Scottish outside back we've had come through lately is Kyle Steen, and he's not a kid, and he's been through the system. He came from South Africa.
And he's not even Scottish.
He came through the sevens. He came through the sevens system, albeit after two games. So there's that. But yeah, it's not... No, the whole... I think the looking back on it, as much as every lauded Scott Johnson at the time, he's left us with a bare cupboard of talent. So there is something not whatever. We're at the stage we're at now where we're becoming over-reliant on foreign imports. And that's, you know, let's be honest, whether the Scots qualified or not, and, you know, we are having to, you know, fill the ranks with South African props to fill a gap. But it's not a gap because it's not like there's somebody else coming through that they're just kind of keeping the chair warm for or keeping the front row warm for. There's nobody behind that coming through. And if Super Six isn't a development league, what is it? If, you know, if the academies aren't producing players, what's the point in them? What, you know, we've got a good, you know, a golden generation of Scottish talent right now, but it's hard to see the next one after that. We're going to get to this group of players being 30, 30 plus. You maybe get two more World Cups out of this group of players at best. You've got one more in Finn Russell, maybe two more in Adam Hastings. Beyond that, I don't see anybody going beyond that at this stage. And you would expect there would at least be an 18, 19-year-old on the scene now that you could see sticking around for at least, you know, the next while.
Yeah, it would involve some sort of forward planning, which we know hasn't necessarily been the strong suit of HQ. So,
yeah. Anything more on that, Ian? Did you want any more swearing before I close my notes to say at what time you swore? Do you want any more swearing on it on this issue before we move on?
No, I don't feel I have to swear as much, but I would just echo what John said. You know, sort of between 2011 and 2015, we had this crop of young, exciting players coming through. But now they're all getting not long in the tooth as such. A lot of them are hitting their peak. But where are the replacements? Yeah. You know, where is the next Stuart Hogg? Where is the next Finn Russell? Why are we just having to rely on South African imports? Guys like Jordan Venter, I can't even remember. Who's the guy at Glasgow signed? What's this?
De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Why are we particularly specifically just looking there rather than say like when Townsend took over, he saw Nico Matawalu and Leone Nakarawa, you know, all these guys. Where is the scouting network? Why is it just sort of, all right, we need to sign someone to fill this gap. Who's a former player that's out of contract now? Right, we'll take him.
I mean, this is Trevor Carmichael saying bring back inter-district at age, grade levels and possibly a club inter-district too. I think there's an element that says yes, because that's if the scouts are there then from Edinburgh and Glasgow at the inter-district youth level, then those games are going to be competitive because the young players know they're putting themselves in the shop window. It also, I think it makes scouting fairer because I know particularly on the East Coast, a lot of it's not how good a player, a lot of it's who you know, who your coach is, who your coach knows. It's not down to, you know, coaches going and seeing, you know, Duns or Berwick on a wet Wednesday night train. It's down to, you know, or my coach's mate's the coach of the under-16s and he'll get you a game. And that's been the way. And I know I'm sure that's not the way it works all the time, but I have had feedback that is the way it works a lot of the time. Certain players are favoured. We've definitely had feedback from some pro players that's been their experience. If you're not from the right club, you're not from the right area, you don't get seen. You bring it into district, I'm sure you would have the same issues at inter-district level, but it widens the playing field, doesn't it? It brings more people in. It puts more people in the shop window for the pro teams to come and have a look at, and it makes those fixtures competitive. So I think there's a lot more that could be done by the SRU to increase competitive and develop younger players. I think that's where we'll leave it then. I don't think there's no other news, I don't think. Ian, you're about to say something. Are you?
The other day, Bishopton Rugby had suggested playing, because they're having to stop, suspend training, they've put a motion forward to the SRU about summer rugby, which I am a big advocate for, right?
Yep.
Because I think drier weather, it will improve skills, it will get more fans along, which puts more money into club coffers. And it will maybe, you know, let's say, like, you know, families take along their kids and they see these exciting games of rugby. It'll probably do more for them. If they have a nice day out, rather than just watching rugby as well, they have a good fun day out, it might entice them into playing. Somebody, I won't name names, like, just for data protection reasons. This one person has commented, from what I've been told in the past, the SRU aren't keen on summer rugby because people go on holidays, which is a load of he does say this is a load of crap, and private schools play other sports in the summer.
Yeah, right. And there is the problem.
That's it. It's like, oh wait,
we can't interfere with the cricket season, but it doesn't matter if we're competing against football, because football's a lesser sport.
Yeah, it's like, all right, cool. they've got cricket and golf to be worried about. About cricket and rugby.
You look at the borders, right? 55. I've got to write down when you swore there.
Just stick an explicit on it before I said we could swear. You said we could swear.
I did, but only because I can bleep it out afterwards. You can swear live, it's fine. I just have to go back and beep it out afterwards. But and this is the thing, and because there are other issues as well. And again, the SRU in the big house with their Edinburgh hat on, aren't thinking of the bigger picture. You know, Borders teams lose players every season during harvest and during lambing, because guys kind of give up the Saturday and Sunday to go and play rugby because they've got work to do. You know, and there must be other clubs in across the country that are affected seasonally like that as well. You've also then got the competition of the Autumn Tests in the Six Nations. So you want, you know, the players going off, you want to go and see the Calcutta Cup at Murrayfield. you can buy a ticket through the club, but if you're a player, you can't play for your club that weekend.
Yeah.
So why try and compete with the big international weekends? I mean, sometimes it can work if it works, if when they're allowed to kick off early, because that's a big issue as well. Because sometimes the SRU won't change the fixture time and they end up kicking off at the same time as an international match. When it allows for it and you can kick off early and everyone comes to the clubhouse afterwards and watches the game, it works. But when you're kicking off at the same time as Six Nations games, even if it's not the Scotland one, you're on a hiding absolutely nothing. Everyone's in the club. People might still come to the clubhouse and watch the game on the telly, but nobody's going outside in the pissing rain. So, yeah, I think summer rugby could work.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it was just before Christmas, there was a rescheduled GHA game, and it got moved from the actual pitch, the first 15th pitch, to the trading artificial pitch because the first 15th pitch was frozen, which meant as I had to stand there on the sideline, it was snowing. I couldn't even write notes because the snow was that heavy. Like, my pages were just getting absolutely soaking wet. And I was, like, interviewing Trevor Carmichael after it, like, the GHA head coach. I was, like, talking to him with my phone up, like, recording what he was saying. And my hands were literally... I was shaking, like... I was shaking, like...
Nobody at the SRU don't think of the poor journalists, do they, Ian?
No, but the thing is, Phil, there was only, like, 10 people there because it was such a crappy day and it was 3 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
Madness, isn't it?
Utter madness. So yes, that seems like a reasonable suggestion. I'm trying to see. I think that's all the news for the moment. I did say, God, because I wasn't sure we'd have much to talk about at the start of this week, but there was news came flooding in. Now we went to patrons and we said, what would you guys like us to talk about? And also give us your hands in the ruck, although I mistyped it's hands in the rick. And which got us on a lovely little sidetrack about Ricks, and then we in the group chat we found out about John's secret crush, which I'll spare him that on the podcast. But we did have long-time listener and previous contributor to the podcast, Alan McDonald, did say, "Where is the Scottish rugby sea shanty TikTok crossover?" And I think he meant it as a joke, but I've been busy. So here we have what I believe is the first ever Scottish rugby-inspired sea shanty. Here we go.
What shall we do with Duncan Taylor? What shall we do with Duncan Taylor? What shall we do with Duncan Taylor early in the morning? Play him at 12 until he's broken. Play him at 12 until he's broken. Play him at 12 until he's broken early in the morning. Put him on the bench for back three cover. Put him on the bench for back three cover. Put him on the bench for back three cover early in the morning.
So there you go. We've branched out into TikTok sea shanties. Thank you to Alan. Alan helped me with the lyrics on that. So, yeah. We are now a sea shanty podcast.
Yes.
I've been wanting to do a Duncan, what should we do with Duncan Taylor chant for a while now. So it was good. It was nice to finally get that out there.
I'm glad you got that monkey off your back there.
Alan McDonald says, bravo. Now, what you two don't know is I then thought, do you know what would sound really good as a sea shanty? Would be the Where's Dougie Donnelly jingle.
Well, we've looked high and we've looked low. We've seen Dougie Vipond in his speedos. But we just want to know, did you see the legend that's Dougie Donnelly? Hey-ho, away we go. It was Dougie Vipond in his speedos. He was at the Alloa Leisure Bowl, swimming in the water. Now the man that we love most of all, he's known from Gretna up to Skaw. Rugby, darts, golf, snooker and balls, there's nothing that Dougie doesn't know. Hey-ho, away we go, he was spotted once at the big Tesco's, shopping with his bag for life, picking up some tea for his wife. Hey-ho, away we go, he's the greatest that we've ever seen. Shammy-dab, grandstand and sport scene, we all love Dougie Donnelly.
Oh no! Oh, that's you officially back on Doogie Donnelly's list of like to be avoided.
Refraining orders.
30 meters I've got to keep from him now.
Oh, that was fantastic, Cammy. Yeah, that was,
so you can hear it, the pen saying, "What have I just listened to? You've listened to Scottish Rugby Sea Shanties, the pen." That's what you've listened to. I do. You can hear because the app I used to make that only gives you 30 seconds of time, so you can hear it slowly speeding up at the end as I watched it counting down.
Seven seconds left.
See, Cammy, that's why you need a good rhythm section like John and drums and me on the bass.
That's it.
We're going to do metal versions of What Do We Do With Duncan Taylor.
Yeah, I think I could speed it up enough that we could probably get 3 or 4 runs of it in 30 seconds.
I saw how sweaty you got doing blast beats, John. That's,
I was a sweaty boy after that.
Now, I then thought, I wonder what other kinds of musical genres I could do and apply to the jingles. So I did the Lions Chat one as well. You ready?
A whim away, 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 a Lions Chat. A whim away, a whim away, a Lions Chat. We've had so much about it that it makes us sick, but we've still got a talk about it. Captain's gonna pick. A whim away, a whim away, a whim away, a whim away.
So that was the Lions Chat Sleeps Tonight.
Wow.
You can hear it now.
Other things to be getting on with in your life.
Now, I don't know if you can hear, but in that one, I'm singing really quietly because I'd started to get worried that the family could hear me across in the house because, of course, we're on lockdown and might, you know, might start to worry about my sanity. So I better not. When the Doogie Donnelly was... The Doogie Donnelly one was fine because they all went for a walk, so I could get loudy, you know, and really kind of get stuck in. But the other ones, I kind of thought they'll start to wonder what I'm up to.
You thought it was a good idea to rather than singing at full volume, you thought it was a good idea to publicise it to the 3 or 4 people that are watching here tonight.
Yeah. They understand. I feel like I'm in a safe space. Everyone understands.
It's an emotional safe space for us all.
I did do Hands in the Rock as a monastic chant. Do you want to hear it?
Yes,
hands
of course.
Hands in the rock, hands in the rock. Who has got their hands in your rock? Hands in the rock, hands in the rock. Who has got their hands in your rock?
I was thinking of a bit, you know, like kind of bring out your dead kind of monks you get in the Monty Python sketches, but there, yeah.
We should do the Lion Sleeps Tonight again, like, but as a barbershop quartet, and I will volunteer to do the high pitched.
You're going for the high note.
I'll go full falsetto. Yeah. I'm not doing it right
now. We'll work out how the collaborate function works, and we'll get that sorted out at some point. So yeah,
that was magnificent.
What are we 2 weeks into this, the third lockdown, and I'm already doing sea shanties quietly in my office, and I should be working.
I've been locked down for about 15 months. I'm going absolutely mental.
I know the time.
I've been playing so
1 minute and 1 hour, 5 minutes, another swear. That's only 4, Ian. You're not doing too bad. They save me a bit of work afterwards. But that's it for this week. Anyway, we haven't had any actual hands. That we covered everybody's hands in the ruck because they were all around Glasgow being the poor cousins this week.
What about the Kyle Sinclair banning for swearing at the ref?
For swear? I missed the full story on this. Is it just that he had a bit of a swear?
No, he directly shouted at the ref, who was a former teammate. Get the pen out again.
I'll get the pen out, yeah.
Oh, for f***'s sake, referee. Right, so now he's been banned for 2 weeks. However, interestingly, the disciplinary committee have said that they are including a couple of Bristol League matches in it. So he will be banned for the Scotland game, but then he would be in the Six Nations squad anyway, so wouldn't be able to play in the next Bristol game, but they're including that as a meaningful match that he's going to miss, which seems like a bit of a swerving around of the rules.
Yeah, it seems utter madness. The other one, I don't see the, was it Rhys Priestland got, was it Rhys Priestland? I'm going to get, or Patch, or the red card in the for Scarlets this week where he said, so we're playing sevens now, referee.
Oh, Liam Williams. Oh, Liam Williams, that was him. Sakes, did you see it?
No, right. I haven't seen it.
That should be an extra sanction because that's back chat to the referee. So we're playing sevens now. Is it utter madness?
So what he's done is he's dived into a ruck. Like, the tackle was completed. There was no way in hell that anyone from the Scarlet side was going to, you know, they couldn't affect the turnover because there was already other men in the ruck. He's gone diving in. He's made head-on-head contact with Stephen Lewis Hughes. Now, in real time, it looks a bit innocuous, but you see it slow down, just like, what are you doing? And apparently before that, Liam Williams, being the, well, he's a bit of an arsey little gob, isn't he?
Yeah.
So then stick that into your swearing list. He'd been winding people up and being really aggressive and nasty all game, and then he does that. And then once he got red carded, he said, you know, are we playing sevens now, is it? Then as he's walking off the pitch, right, I've not heard this myself, but apparently some other people who've watched it on TV have seen it. They've heard him saying to the touch judge, this is a, will I swear again? Or,
yeah, go swear again.
This is a joke. Right. So if he turns up to the disciplinary and he goes, oh, I'm sure, I'll show remorse. It's a load of absolute crap. I think it's his third sending off.
Yeah.
Right, and he's back. He had, like, if you watch the incident, like him going out the ruck, there's no point or excuse. It's as pointless as when your man Dupria went and shouldered Chris Harris in the back of the neck.
Yeah.
It's completely pointless. And it was just an attempt to hurt somebody.
I think this,
he's a hard man. I mean, he's a skinny little bandy leg sod.
Thank you for that. The save there at the end, Ian, I don't have to bleep that. I think this, and the other thing, and I was chatting to this people about this, not literally face to face because we're not able to do that, but I was kind of back and forth on the messaging that this kind of, this idea of good behaviour in rugby is utter madness. It's a safety thing. That's the reason why the sanctions should be there. You know, and they should be applied. And that's where it's going to come down. This idea that somehow, because you get sent off, you're a bad person. Sometimes it is accidental, but it's, you know, in order to stop people behaving in that way or going in recklessly, that doesn't mean they're a bad or immoral person. It just means they've been reckless or careless and they should be sanctioned for it. They shouldn't be have their charity work taken into it, or how much gifted they've given the National Trust this year taken into account for the length of the ban.
Did you see the what's his name? The fella gets sent off for lifting a French referee, the Fijian winner.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Have you heard about his background and why he was sacked from his last club?
It's not good, I don't think. I can't remember the full story, but it's not.
Yeah, right. So what happened was him and his one of his teammates, they got went out. Hang on, I'm going to find his name. But he molested women. He grabbed her breasts without any consent. Two of her friends jumped in. He punched them in the face and then got banned. And it's when Squidge Rugby brought it up on Twitter. And then the guys from Rock and Roll, they said, oh, yeah, he's a horrible person, by the way. I looked it up. Then Rugby Onslaught had written an article. And fair enough, this is about a year and a half ago. They said, oh, you know, he's done some terrible things, but he's a good rugby player. So, you know, we'll let him away with it. Like, oh, Right, fine. Well, we'll go and it's fine. You can go and molest people, but as long as you're good at rugby, that's okay. That is part of the crappy attitude that keeps pervading through, you know, sort of lad culture and rugby, and so, and certainly other areas, a lot of life. And that's absolute crap. Just to say, oh, it's fine, you know, you can get away with that. Well, excuse him. Has he shown contrition for it? No, he hasn't. He's also, he got done with it for eye gouging CJ Stander. He's suspended for 8 weeks. The man's obviously a bit of an arsehole. But then, oh, because he's good at rugby, so it's all right. That was absolute crap from Rugby Onslaught.
Yeah. I mean, and what I didn't like as well is everyone was, there was a lot of rugby talks. Oh, I don't know what to make of this. Should I laugh or should it be terrible? I said, no, it's terrible. You don't touch a referee. That's like, it's pretty much rule one is you don't touch the referee in any sport as well. God, not just moralizing for rugby. You don't touch the referee.
It was a wee bit of, I mean, at first,
if it was if it was a Barbarians game, that's the only, the only time I could see it. A Barbarians game, but
consent and being, you know, obviously part of the joke and being part of the atmosphere of it. But any other time is just, you just don't do that. It kind of, you know, it totally erodes the one thing, right? We always go on about our, I'm going to say it, hashtag rugby values. We always go on about this rubbish. And the one thing we do well so far, and we have continued to do well, is that respect for the referee on the most part. And any sort of contact with the referee, any sort of situation where that respect gets eroded, I don't think is right.
So, Hosea Ruzuki. Now, the thing is, when I saw it, I thought it was, I'd said the referee had overreacted because it was the last action of the match. So he was obviously quite happy at the fact that his team had won and, you know, that was the end of the game. And I did think it was an overreaction by the referee. It was kind of like when Dougie Smith booked Paul Gascoigne for picking up his yellow card and jokingly showing at it.
Yeah.
But it was more the fact that Rugby Onslaught had tried to excuse his previous behaviour for being good at rugby. That's absolutely shameful. And it's not what... Well, we'll probably get accused of being woke rugby Twitter again by a certain individual who, again, has been mouthing off about Thomas Francis moving back to Wales. It's a lot of crap.
It'll be interesting to see if we can out the grass this time, though, eh?
Aye.
We know someone grassed us up to someone that doesn't listen to this podcast, and they decided to slide into my DMs and accuse us of saying things about them that we hadn't said. But anyway, I'm blocked now.
Yay!
Oh, I'm not.
Because I said, no, yeah, well, he got upset that we'd mentioned him on the podcast and then said I'd never been near a real rugby club and demanded my phone number. And I said, it's not Dream Phone, referencing the 80s game, you know, about collecting phones. He then came back and said, it's a real tell that Cammy's referred to Dream Phone here. Anybody that's been around a rugby club will know that the only phone numbers exchanged in changing rooms are for sex chat lines. And I said, well, there's a real tell there. Either A, he hasn't discovered the internet yet, or B, he's using sex chat lines. Which one is it? And then he blocked me. So I stand by my point because I still. And then loads of people then chipped in and went, "I play rugby. I haven't swapped sex chat lines with anybody."
I've played rugby for quite a few years and I've never been past a sex chat line.
Here's the new section. Have you been offered the number of a sex chat line by a teammate? How did you react? Is it something that happens every week? Yeah. Let us know. Maybe we're the ones out of touch with club rugby.
There's maybe an article that we could write in this, actually a collaborative article about the impact of not being given sex chat lines in the dressing room and how excluded we feel because of that.
And how long do you think it will take you to get paid for that?
Now, there's a boy that before we go, I'll end on this. There's a boy who plays for rugby club that I won't mention the lad's name, but he once took to Twitter to complain about the fact that the porn on Pornhub wasn't ethical enough and tagged Pornhub in it. And I thought, fair play to that lad. Like, you know, unhappy with the standard of pornography on show, and rather than making the complaint private to put on his public Twitter profile and tag Pornhub in it, I thought,
there was a New York Times, I think it was an article a couple of weeks ago, and Pornhub have since, they won't, because of worries about revenge porn, they've actually taken a moral stance about it and said that they won't accept anything apart from, unless it's from a verified account.
Yep, that's right. Yes,
is more than what Twitter will do.
So Pornhub, can he start an insurrection through Pornhub? Not anymore. You can't.
Well, you can try, but
not with that attitude, Cammy. Not with that.
No, I think he's going to down his pirate jugger cider just before we finish. There we go.
Just before we finish, there he's nearly gone. I'm just wondering whether or not anything's. Last time when me and John were recording this last week. There we go. Last week, when we were recording, John, halfway through, we realised that American were in the.
We're having a coup and not a healing coup.
And not a healing coup. This week, whilst we've recorded, Donald Trump has become the first US president to be impeached twice.
So he's been impeached.
He's been impeached for a second time.
Excellent. The seditious, treasonous rat son of a bitch.
So I can't promise that, you know, the outside world will be as exciting every time we record. But that's we're two for two, boys.
we're doing our best, but 2021.
Yeah. Next week, we'll make sure he gets removed from Home Alone 2.
In theory, I'm just thinking about it. So if we record a week from today, we will be in Inauguration Day, won't we?
We will. Oh, God. John, can we skip next week?
Who knows what's going to happen
with the presidential assassination next week?
that would be peak me hosting, wouldn't it?
Anyway, join us next week. John is going to be hosting. It's going to be during the inauguration of Joe Biden. Who knows what will happen? Join us to find out. I don't know what I'm going to watch, whether I'm going to watch this live, because I'm moving. As I said, we're moving house. I've not got internet, so I'm not going to be able to there. So we don't know what's going to happen in the wider world next week. John's in charge of the podcast. You know, let's just start small, John, and try not get us banned from Facebook again.
Again, I absolutely, this guy, Pirate Pete down here.
hang on a minute. Right, so as I declared on Twitter, why is it I get banned about making a joke about you possibly taking drugs, whereas Donald Trump can raise sedition and an armed coup? and then Twitter just go, Facebook go, he's banned indefinitely for 2 weeks. Where's the parity there? Come on.
Right, well, I'm now going to go and Photoshop a gun onto Highland Cow after that. More armed coup. Like I said, we are good. I'm not going to be here for the next 2 weeks. John is going to be taking over hosting duties, possibly for 2 weeks, possibly for 1 week. I think it's going to depend on how much news and things there are to talk about. Yep. There might be a game this weekend. We don't know. They've planned one, but there's also a storm coming in, so we'll see. Keep an eye on the normal channels and we'll announce when the podcasts are going to happen. I'll be back in time for the Six Nations. I'm working on a special guest to come in, which I'm quite excited about. I'll tell John and Ian about that off air. But for the moment, it's goodbye from me and goodbye from John and Ian.
Bye, folks.
Cheerio with no swearing.